Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Knier, Community Relations Manager for Wayne Memorial Hospital. Thank you for joining us today. For those of you that may not know, March is Social Work Awareness Month. And so today on the show, I have 5 amazing social workers from Wayne Memorial Hospital. And so I don't get their names mixed up and say a wrong name. We just kind of chuckled about that before we started. I am going to let everyone to go around the room here and kind of introduce themselves. And I am going to start with Mary.
Okay. I'm Mary Bergio. I'm the social work manager here at the hospital.
I'm Megan Olivares. I'm a licensed social worker here at the hospital.
I'm Megan O'Rourke, also a licensed social worker here at the hospital.
I'm Jill White. I'm a licensed social worker and a certified grief counselor at the hospital and in hospice.
And I'm Jackie Most, who's a licensed social worker at the hospital as well.
Well, ladies, again, thank you so much for joining us today on this show. So, you know, we're going to begin, and Megan O'Rourke. So we have two Megans on the show today. Would you like to just tell our listeners, what is this year's theme for Social Work Month? And like, how does it relate to the practice at Wayne Memorial Hospital?
Yes, this year's theme is compassion and action. And it fits hand in hand with what we do every day here at the hospital. We're meeting with patients each day, and we're quite sensitive to, we're seeing them just at a tip of the iceberg piece of their life. And they're coming in with many life stressors potentially that they're experiencing. There could be grief and loss factors going on, financial stressors, family dynamics that they're working through. So we're very compassionate to this as we're working with them in the hospital and in the outpatient setting. And then the action comes into play with our job. You know, how do we link them up with services, being, you know, working with them through that compassionate lens.
Right. And I do have to say, and I'll probably say it a couple of times, you all do an amazing job for our hospital, for our patients, for our community. So thank you for everything that you do. It does take someone special to do your jobs.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. So Mary, the social workers cover many units and clinics within Wayne Memorial's building. What are some of these areas?
We cover basically everything, but specifically we cover the emergency room, all of our inpatient units, which are the intensive care unit, telemetry, the medical surgical unit, maternity. We have an acute inpatient rehab unit, wound care. We also cover the physician specialty clinics, such as pulmonary, cardiology, and urology. And we also cover hospice. We do the bereavement program for our hospice. And many a times we just get people call us up on the telephone or just walk in and say, I'd like to speak to a social worker.
Right.
So no matter where it is, we make sure we make the time for the individual.
Right. Thank you for sharing all of that, because we are going to go into a little bit more details of the different, what we say, inpatient and outpatient. So, you know, Megan, what is considered like the inpatient units of the hospital, and what are some of the jobs or, you know, interventions that you do?
Yes, so on inpatient, we're dealing with the intensive care unit, the telemetry floor, the medical surgical floor, and the rehab primarily. Our focus on a lot of these units is the discharge planning process. We're working with the medical team along with the patient and family to create a safe and effective discharge plan to coincide with when the patient is medically ready to leave the hospital. This is a variety of things that we get involved with. We could be helping an individual get to a short-term rehab facility for physical and occupational therapy. We could be making referrals for some in-home care, including home health. We could be linking them with the aging office to set up services like Meals on Wheels or a referral for some in-home care or transportation services. Or just looking at, again, those stressors that someone might be facing in terms of the rising costs of food and groceries, utility bills, helping people with services in those areas. We're trying to look at that person in all these facets of their life and helping them in whatever area they might be struggling with. The discharge planning process, it's patient-driven. So we're meeting with each patient in the hospital. We're presenting options for what the patient might qualify for. But really, it's up to the patient to consent to anything that's set up. We're in that unique role where we're not telling someone what to do, but we're trying to link them up with really as much as they might qualify for to help them out.
Right. And you often give them options too, right? Mm-hmm. It's not, right. It's again, the whole goal here is patient-driven.
Exactly. Right?
Whether it's the direct patient or maybe a family member that may be helping that patient or, you know, significant other, it's definitely a team approach.
Exactly.
Right? Yep. That's what we kind of look at. So, Jackie, you know, when we talk about this inpatient and then this outpatient setting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. The outpatient departments consist of pulmonary rehab, cardiac rehab, pre-admissions for upcoming surgeries or any type of procedures that would need discharge planning at the time of their discharge from the surgery. The infusion clinic, which does long-term antibiotics, chemotherapy, whatever the infusion might be. Wound care, the physician specialty clinic, which as Mary said is urology, pulmonology, sometimes GI, but we don't really get that many GI, and cardiology.
Mm-hmm.
So with these departments, we do a psychosocial assessment just to see what the needs are for the individuals. Sometimes they're on expensive medications, and we need to price those out or find other options for them. So we would use, we would look for grants that offer more affordable medications, the capture card that runs through the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
If they have certain pharmacies, we would use GoodRx and anywhere we can find more affordable medications for them. We also help them with co-pays using the hospital's sliding fee scale or their financial assistance application. We'll help them with that, ordering any type of equipment if they should need equipment at their time of their visit, home health if they need nursing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of what they do up on the floor in the inpatient, but we just do it
in an outpatient
setting.
Because I think, you know, overall, Wayne Memorial Hospital has grown. I mean, I've been here for over 30 years, and some of us around the room also almost as long. And it mostly, I wouldn't say mostly, but it was primary inpatient service.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have so many mm-hmm. outpatient services, just like you mentioned, the physician specialty clinic and how many different disciplines are underneath there and how many services people need above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't always know where to start.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's where social workers come in too. And they play such, again, such an important role here at Wayne Memorial. So Megan, our second mm-hmm. Megan, you were primarily like in the ED and also the maternity new beginnings. Can you talk a little bit about that role?
Yes. So the emergency room is kind of a evolving role as, you know, different people come in. I help mostly an elderly population, facilitating getting them to a skilled nursing facility straight from the emergency room, or setting them up with home health services through the aging office, anything that they may need. It's similar to what is done up on the floor, the inpatient. But again, I have to do it rather quickly, communicate with everybody on the team down there. Another huge aspect that we deal with is mental health in the emergency room when somebody is in a mental health crisis. I think that's where social work comes in, especially with the compassionate portion right. of it, when people are at a very vulnerable stage and we're there to support them to complete assessments, see where they're at, and transfer them to an inpatient mental health facility if they do need it. Or if they're not at that level, we can give them outpatient mental health supports and make sure that they're going home with a safe discharge.
Right, right. And I think, you know, looking at your role, I mean, I think all of you have challenging roles that you play. But in that emergency department, again, these are individuals that may not meet the criteria to be admitted to the hospital.
Yeah.
So your job is to, again, work quickly to get them to those resources they mm-hmm. need, because some of them may not be able to go home, correct?
Right. Yeah, that is some issues that we do come across as well. We want to make sure at the end of the day that our patients are safe.
Right.
And if going home is not an option for them, then we have to come up with an alternative plan to make sure that they are safe.
Right, right. And do it rather quickly.
Yes.
Rather quickly.
Yep, very speedy.
Uh-huh. So you, that's one of your roles, and mm-hmm. you also work very closely with the maternity, new beginnings. How do you support moms who are experiencing substance abuse disorders or are in recovery for mm-hmm. substance use?
Yeah, I think the main thing is that they have to know that we're not there to judge them mm-hmm. because there is a lot of stigma, unfortunately, around substance use.
Right.
So we go in, we're supportive, we offer them any resources that they may need. We do work concordantly with CYS to complete a plan of safe care, just to make sure that when they are discharged, the baby is set up with services, the mom and the family have good support. We can also refer them to early intervention, depending on how the baby is doing, and we can also set up other referrals for Healthy Moms, which is another support group for them, and, you know, just be there for them during a very vulnerable time right. as well.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And I think it's very, you know, you used the word stigma because, mm-hmm. you know, I think no matter in what role we play, sometimes there is a lot of stigma out there, mm-hmm. but things are also changing for the better out in our community, correct?
Yes.
Like, you know, the help that's there, the mm-hmm. resources are there. You know, so many different agencies come together to help these families or these moms that may be struggling with substance abuse and having a newborn. Is that correct? Right.
Yeah, and I mean, it's difficult for them sometimes too, especially if this is their first baby. It's mm-hmm. new. They may be dealing with other issues such as postpartum depression and anxiety on top of also focusing right. on their recovery. So they have to know that there are supports out there when they leave the hospital. It's not just a see you later, good luck.
Exactly. So thank you. Thank you for sharing all that. So we have Jill. Hey, Jill.
Hello.
So Jill, you, again, I'm sure you guys all pitch in and help each other at any one time during the day, but something that's near and dear to your heart is hospice, correct?
Yes, very near.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
So as a hospice social worker, you know, it is a lot about providing vital support to patients and their families, addressing social, emotional, and practical needs that are related to their end-of-life care, you know, and it's not limited to just, you know, what's in front of them. Sometimes they may need counseling mm-hmm. while, you know, they're on hospice or even after their loved one passes, you know, and that is a good thing of hospice. When you sign up for a hospice service, you have 13 months
right.
On that service after your loved one passes. So, you know, we reach out and we offer that support. And sometimes, you know, it is advocating for the patient and what that patient wants, along with supporting the family and helping them understand, you know, this is what they want and they mm-hmm. can make this decision. You know, I do, and the girls help me too with a lot of resource identification, you know, so being able to identify and accessing community resources, you know, for maybe hospice at home, compared to going to a skilled facility or, you know, staying on a GIP side of the hospice, which is general inpatient. You know, we provide grief support, and then that kind of provides the counseling and support to families after their loved one dies. And we will actually be starting a grief support group March 26th, and it runs through April 30th. It will be at the hospital between the hours of 4:30 p.m. and 6 p.m. I'm not sure what office it will be in. Do you know, Mary?
We go through the David Katz room and also the Chatlos room.
Yes.
Yes. It's either one or the other.
Yeah.
I know that there'll be a lot of identification and signs hanging up. You know, and that grief support group is run by myself and Pastor Norm. We kind of play off of each other in mm-hmm. that group a lot. You know, so we do encourage anybody to attend. You don't have to have been on Wayne Memorial's hospice to attend. It is open to the community.
Right.
There's
right.
a lot of resources provided.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what comes out of that for me is the connections that people
yeah.
make in
yeah.
that group.
Mm-hmm.
They realize that they're not alone and all their feelings are normal.
Right, right. And again, you know, from someone who's experienced a grief group, I think it's awesome, and it's a great way to, again, meet people or just sit there and listen,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there's all levels of participation when people attend those classes.
And I think it normalizes what grief is, and I
right.
think it takes that stigma away from the word hospice, because
mm-hmm.
hospice tends to mean, you know, yeah, it means death and dying, but it also means support
yes.
and continued support.
Right.
So I think that's important, that
mm-hmm.
it you know, destigmatizes it.
And I can't agree with you more. My mom was on hospice over a year and a half ago before she passed away. I think the comfort that, you know, you all have given, as well as our hospice department, was truly amazing. You know, I think they really walked through every single step. And the same thing in all the roles that all of you do. I can't say enough that you truly work with the family. You work with that patient through that whole process. And so, again, thank you for all that you do. The biggest question is, if someone has any questions about social work or the services, Mary, what number can they call?
They should call the main number, which is the 570-253-8383.
Okay, wonderful. And if someone's not there, leave a message. They will get back to you.
Yes.
Right? And if you want more information about the grief support group, you can visit our website at wmh.org or give that phone number a call. So, ladies, again, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
And again, this is Carol Kanier, Community Relations Manager for Wayne Memorial Hospital. I want to thank you for listening and have a great day.